Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 FY 2024 earnings conference call of Engineers India Limited, hosted by DAM Capital Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Bhoomika Nair from DAM Capital Advisors Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Yeah, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Q3 FY 2024 earnings call of Engineers India. We have the management today being represented by Mr. Sanjay Jindal, Director of Finance, Mr. Suvendu Padhi, Company Secretary and Investor Relations, Mr. R.P. Batra, Executive Director of Finance and Accounts, Mr. Sunil Saxena, Executive Director, Technical and IR, Mr. Amanpreet Singh Chopra, Senior General Manager, CMD Office, Mr. Vivek Midha, General Manager, Marketing Business Development, and Ms. Neha Narula, Senior Manager, Company Secretary and IR. At this point, I'll hand over the floor to Mr. Jindal for his initial remarks, post which we'll open up the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Good evening, everybody, and a warm welcome to all the investors for the earnings call for this meet. Today, we have declared our quarter three results, and standalone information are as: in the third quarter, the company achieved a turnover of rupees 856 crore in comparison to 777 crore in the quarter ended September 2023, showing an increase of around 10% on quarter-to-quarter basis, with turnover from consultancy and engineering segment amounting to rupees 359 crore and 497 crore in turnkey segment. The turnover for the quarter three is rupees 856 crore compared to 831 crore in the corresponding quarter of the previous year, that is December 2022, showing an increase of around 3%. For the 9 months ended 31st December 2023, the company has registered turnover of rupees 2,442 crore, vis-à-vis 2,418 crore during the 9 months ended of the preceding financial year, with turnover from consultancy and engineering segment amounting to rupees 1,066 crore and 1,376 crore in the turnkey segment during the 9 months ended 31st December 2023. The profit after tax for the quarter three is rupees 50 crore, compared with 48 crore in the corresponding quarter of the previous year, that is December 2022, showing an increase of around 4%. During the 9 months ended, the company has recorded PBT of 354 crore and PAT of 266 crore, in comparison to 235 crore and 183 crore, respectively, during the 9 months ended of the preceding financial year, showing an increase of 51% in PBT and 45% in PAT. Notably, the EPS for the 9 months ended December 2023 is rupees 4.73, vis-à-vis 9 months ended December 2022 is 3.26. The company has unexecuted order value of rupees 7,990 crore, comprising under consultancy segment of rupees 4,751 crore and under LSTK segment of 3,239 crore. Thank you. Bhoomika, my side is...
Should we begin the question and answer session, sir?
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
So my first question is on the order opportunity from the petchem side. The consultancy income, consultancy order inflow has been pretty weak for, especially in the last quarter. How do you think about it in the next 10 to 12 months? And if you can just lay out the order opportunity plus project Y, it will be helpful. Yeah.
With respect to the petchem, you are asking.
I'm talking about consultancy in general, the large orders, large packages. Which?
Overall consultancy, because your voice was breaking in between, no problem. Overall consultancy wise, we have naturally we have bid for a few of the projects, and in the meantime, in this time period between the December and January itself, we have booked some business and got few of the orders. There are three mega complexes are under negotiation. One is in overseas and one is in India, as well as one is in the initial stage of a private segment in India itself. It's a charity chemical complex. We are discussing the proposal with them. So we are expecting that these three would get materialized definitely before the March 31st. And some more project consultancy assignments are also on the anvil. We have also secured a few of the assignments, one of the assignment in IOCL for sustainable aviation fuel. We are L1 now, so it is expected to get awarded soon. We are also bidding for another kind of chemical complex of IOCL, which is in the bidding process, and results are expected to be out shortly. So we are hopeful that in some of the assignments we'll be able to make it, and we should be able to get more business in the next quarter, in next 2 months' time.
So, what are you referring to, sir? IOCL Paradeep, is that the right estimate?
No, Paradeep is a bit away right now. It's not in that entry mode. It is going to take some time. It is expected to come somewhere in the next financial year. We were actually anticipating towards the bidding or the tendering in the beginning of this financial year, in the last quarter of this financial year, between January to March. But I think it is going to get late. They have not come out with tender as of now.
Anything on the BPCL Petchem or PLNG or GAIL?
BPCL Petchem, initial activities we are involved. We have been given some assignment with respect to the modification and the conceptualization, because I think there was some issue. The project was initially got approved, but they decided to go back on the configuration, and they are reworking on that. So we are working in the initial stages of the project, and as soon as it is cleared from their management, it would come.
And PLNG and GAIL, sir, any opportunity in the next 12 months?
We won't be able to because some of them are under discussion.
Understood. Sir, any comment you can on the coal gasification? Of course, we are hearing a lot of noises, but I don't see anything materializing on the ground. Are we seeing any tender which is upcoming for the consultancy?
Yeah. That every year government announces certain benefits, and when all these projects which have been named in the newspapers also are being discussed for last 2 years, they have not yet come onto the paper. Like the government is giving some grant in three categories, and one of the projects of Coal India and GAIL is getting approved, and they are pursuing that. But that has been, the MOU has been entered in 2023. But it has not come onto the paper. So there is a lot of news in the paper, not a lot of discussions are there, but exactly nothing much is happening. It's all in the tendering or a feasibility stage. Some of them have gone into feasibility, but they could not get viable. They are going to go into, again, feasibility stage, like in Coal India's WCL. The execution companies did not bid, so it had to go back. Some of the projects, one project in which is Naveli Lignite Corporation, we are doing, one of the contractors put it astronomically high price. So it is very in the initial stages only, because the technology is an issue, and the companies who are going to execute it is an issue. But there is a lot of discussion and a lot of studies are on, definitely.
And this is a thank you, Mr. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Amit Anwani from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. My first question is on the EBIT margin this time for turnkey, which shows a decent improvement. And at the same time, I would like to understand what is the trajectory developing for the turnkey business margins?
Yeah, there is improvement in the turnkey margin in comparison to the December 22 quarter. We are executing certain project of the ONGC. We have started that, and margins are primarily coming from that. We have already given the guidance that our margin will be in the range of between 3 to 5%. So it's around 5% during the current quarter.
Right, sir. And so wanted to understand on the infra order. I can see this quarter we got one 350 crore order for the intelligence we were building. So is it the sense that we are getting that we will be bidding for more civil building projects and the infra itself, civil infra itself become a vertical?
Definitely. We'll just like to add on this. Infrastructure segment focus has been changed in our company. Last year's, if you see the last year's business and today's business, it is much improved. We are more focusing on the niche kind of projects, not the regular kind of projects. Like this is the kind of, you are seeing that this is the intelligence building, the CBI building, wherein we are getting into involved. Similarly, we are getting into the other RBI's data center projects we are bidding, as well as we are bidding for the airport developments. So we are focusing on all these kind of projects, and actually the focus is when you focus on more on this segment, you get a lot of business. But our role is primarily as a project management consultant, and focus is on the clean projects, so that is there. And we are going to definitely, it's going to contribute more. Infrastructure is going to contribute more in our business segment now. That percentage is going to rise.
Sure. My last question on, just wanted to understand for any refinery capacity expansion, for example, 30,000 odd crore, which the ONGCs highlight, how much would be, the EPC component in that, and what has been our share within the EPC or turnkey component, which is arising out of any refinery capacity expansion?
We see one of the private refinery expansion, because they are anticipating in two things. One is they are thinking of going for petrochemical or for the refinery expansion. So they are in the decision phase. Normally what we see is refinery expansions are going to be much, it should be more towards the petrochemical. So either integration of the petrochemical complex or a little bit smaller expansions. So major expansions we have not seen, because we have not seen any of the feasibility, major feasibility happening in the recent stages. It's mostly the pet camps. We are doing the feasibility studies of pet camps. Then it is actually known when the feasibility is done. So there are limited number of feasibilities with respect to the expansions in the refinery segment.
Sir, actually wanted to understand that typically what would be, the share of turnkey orders which can come out of the any refinery expansion, and then how much Engineers India would be getting out of that?
Depends on the company strategy. But generally these days, company is going for the mix of the execution methodologies. It is some of the units are executed on EPCM basis, and some of the units are executed on the PMC. Mostly utilities and offsites is generally executed on EPCM, but all the other process units have been executed on, are generally being executed on EPC mode. So it's very difficult. It depends on the company to company what strategy they want to adopt. Definitely they have their own plus and minuses. EPCM and PMC have their own plus and minuses. The company which is capable of handling they have good engineering strength in within their company, they would like to prefer EPCM, because that definitely saves time and reduces the cost of the project. But at the same time, EPC adds, there is limited involvement of the client side, and but there is always a risk and benefit also for the same. So it depends on the client to client. There is no specific segregation can be done that this would be the percentage of the EPC or LSTK.
Lastly, sir, now we are at 3,000 for 9 months with respect to order intake. We have been guiding more than 4,500. Are we on track? And wanted to understand any guidance on order intake for next 2 years cumulatively, or EOIs if possible.
That at least we are on the track for achieving the last year's target. we have some jobs in the discussions. If those get materialized, definitely it would cross that the last year's business secured around 45 or 47. It is going to cross that definitely.
So for next 2 years, the cumulative, what is the expectations?
We cannot say that exactly. The market is very different. You never know. Definitely, our aim would always be to improve upon this year's business. And target that
least fair visibility for, you know, doing continuous more than 5,000 crore or something.
So we are targeting around 4,500, 4,700, around 5,000. So it is approximately, we are going to target at least minimum that one to sustain. But our focus is on increasing our presence across the world and getting into the overseas business, going into new segments. But all these new segments have some, it will take some time to settle down because you see...
Even we are targeting more than 5,000 crore,
yeah.
But it depends
on... Our target is more.
It depends upon the market, how the projects come in the market. Yeah. And as you know, it is the winning strategy also. It depends upon the L1 also. We have to come L1. So it is the market who determines who is going to
win.
But definitely we are targeting more than 5,000.
Sure, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have our next question from the line of Bhumika Nair from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sir, I had a couple of questions. You initially mentioned in a previous question that, we have three orders where we are L1 and finalization is pending. Two in India and one in, international markets. So how large are these projects?
First, I would like to clarify, we are not L1 in those projects. We are negotiating those contracts as of now. L1, we are there in one of the projects bidded for IOCA, which is expected to be awarded shortly. We are L1 in that because that is on tendering basis. Rest of them are being on the negotiation basis.
Understood.
And in Nigeria, and two are there in India itself. So, that's a handsome size project. They are the petrochemical complexes. So,
The IOCL one, which one is that? Because you said it is not Paradeep.
I will let you the name. It is a synthetic, it's a sustainable aviation fuel project, which is coming up Panipat refinery. It's a smaller assignment, but it's a new area because all focus is on the sustainable aviation fuel, so it's a very competitive segment. We faced severe competition in this, and we could secure it because it's going to be the future of the country. Focus is on the alternative fuels, so this is one of the segments. And actually, this is going to be in implementation, so it is going to add value to our experience and profile also.
Understood. So one is IOCL, one is in Nigeria, and then there is another third one
that
which...
There are two other in India itself, at various points. So I will not tell you the name because they are in negotiation, so we'll see.
Okay. Not the Veena one because you said
they
are back to the drawing board.
Okay. That is expected to come next year only.
Okay. So these two clients and the one in Nigeria are all related to Petchem, or is the Nigeria one related to refinery?
No, it is related to Petchem. All three are, I am telling you, it's mostly the Petchem now.
Okay.
They are limited refineries.
Okay. So, sir, you spoke about, these projects where we are already in negotiations phase, etc., and, in IOCL, we are L1. Now, as obviously, these will get finalized in the next 2 months or so. But as one moves beyond that into the next 2 years, how should we look at what are the potential petchem orders which can come through? You mentioned there is obviously BPCL, Bina refinery, the petchem order which is there, the IOCL, Paradeep petchem is there. Is there anything else that you can speak about in terms of, IOCL or BPCL? Or HPCL or any others which are there in the pipeline?
One of the GAILs is there. GAIL is also thinking of West Coast Petrochemical Complex. And there are a few more. Just the list. One was the Bina, and one is of the Gale, which is thinking of setting up a complex in Kakinada. Then Paradeep is naturally going to come, you are aware of that. Then a private, there are two private companies who are going to set up the cracker complexes, which we were involved in the study phase itself, feasibility studies. We have done the feasibility studies, we see that they are going to come. The one is crude to chemical and other is a steam cracker project. So these are there on the anvil right now. And one of the PVC VCM complex is going to come next year in Gujarat. So that is also there on the anvil. So there are some projects are there on the anvil wherein we are involved in the feasibility studies. We for sure see that some of them get materialized. So like the Bina, we were expecting this year, but it never happened. So you never know what will happen when they go after their in their board's approval. These are expected next year.
Sure, sure. So in the you know, the Maharashtra side, you know, there was a refinery which was planned and then obviously it is delayed. You know, is there any alternate or any such further kind of conversation
in that regard? Because it's been there for the last 5 years. It's been going on. Even though we are involved in the relocation of that refinery project, yeah. It all depends when will it happen, because nobody can commit on that. It's been there for 5-6 years.
Sure, sure. So just on the other part of it, you know, we had this MOU which we had one strategic alliance that we had gotten in with Sunrise CST for the solar technology BOP. You know, any projects that we are getting, given that, you know, there is so much activity that is happening in the solar aspect of it, any kind of orders that we are expecting out here and any progress on this, you know, ordering activity from this perspective?
On this solar CST, we are talking to one of the public sector company. Right now, it is going to be in the feasibility stage. It is going to materialize in next 1 or 2 months. There will be feasibility for that, and then it would be maybe it will come up in the next financial itself when the feasibility is done. Because there we are studying various options. They are going to study various options of the size of the plant. So it will definitely come next year. But right now in this year we are going to get feasibility for that, because solar CSP is a new, relatively new area, and it is going to take some time.
Okay. And
in the meantime, there are a lot of conceptualization studies that we are doing in-house with our alliance partner. So the concepts are on a building stage. So from a conceptual stage going to a implementation stage, it will take some time. So probably by next year, we'll see good market opening up for these projects as well.
Okay. And just lastly on the, you know, for the just the current 9 months, if I look at it, the consultancy revenues have more or less been flattish. And so would it be fair to say that this year will end up being a little flattish year for consultancy, or can we look at a 4-5% kind of a growth for the full year?
So what projects we are talking about, all of them are the consultancy now in the pipeline.
Okay. So, I was talking more from the revenue side, sir.
For the revenue side, what do you take to
say? For the current year, we are targeting more than 3,500 crore turnover, and we are expecting at least a 10% increase in the next year if the project materialize. But definitely, we are on the growth path.
Okay, sir. The margin perspective, how should one look? Because obviously, quarterly variations do happen, and you know there is provisions and write backs etc. which take place. So consultancy, should we look at a steady state 25-30% range in terms of the EBIT margins?
No, I am not expecting margins in the range of 28-30%, because sometimes it depends upon the change order. As you know, in the project oriented company, sometimes finalization of change order takes times with the client. And you have seen also in the first quarter we have got the change order, in the second quarter also we have got the change order, but in the third quarter there was some shortage of change order because we could not materialize, and that is under still finalization with the client. and we are expecting some change orders with the in the quarter four or so on. So 28-30% is not the right figure, and we are expecting between 20-25%.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you. I'll come back in the question queue. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Jonas Bhutta from Birla Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand our initiatives on the international side. While I understand that we are close to, you know, negotiating an order in Nigeria, but at some point in time we were also discussing on the MENA region in terms of we are trying to build up our capabilities. So can you talk about some initiatives that we've taken there, any prospect list that is there in the next 1 or 2 years that we can speak about?
First is in the MENA region, talking about the Nigeria itself, this is the petchem project we are talking about. We have been pursuing one of the smelter projects with one of the clients, as well as we are also discussing with one of the fertilizer projects which is already there, fertilizer complex which is already there. They are having a lot of problems in the plant. So we are working with them to get the assignments with respect to revamp of that project. So that is the front we are doing in the Nigeria side. In Africa, we have re-established ourselves in Algeria. We are continuously bidding for those projects. We are right now executing one of the projects in for a refinery project, and bidding for more projects in pipeline as well as in petchem in Algeria side. Because these are the countries where we have past work and we know these markets. Then the secondly, Africa, we are also going into the other countries and also studying the market wherein the oil and gas sector is active and which is a bit secured, and we should be able to get the money back from the country. So we are studying those countries, and we are expected to enter into more of those countries like Egypt and all we'll be targeting in future. And then in the Middle East segment, in Middle East we are trying to focusing on all the major markets like Kuwait and Oman, as well as Abu Dhabi. Abu Dhabi, which is the major hub, we already have an engineering office there. We are further strengthening, and we have increased our business intake from there. And we are focusing on the major projects from the Middle East in Abu Dhabi office, specifically in the UAE market. We are focusing on the bigger projects, and we are targeting major projects there, and we are expected to get more business because this year's intake from that office has increased substantially, and it is likely to increase next year because we're putting lot of effort increasing our manpower. So all that focus has been on that market. At the same time, we are thinking of going into the Saudi business because we had in past worked in Saudi Arabia, but now we are also looking into re-entering into that market. We are working towards it, and hopefully by next year we should be able to enter in that market also. So we are doing it gradually, wherein we have past experiences and there are future opportunities available, like the revival of this Algeria market. Similarly, we have gone into the, you are aware that in South America we have gone into the Guyana, wherein we have a lot of resources, oil and gas has been explored, and it's a very small market, but it has the largest, one of the largest resources, and it's growing very fast. So we are already involved in one of their power and projects, and they are anticipating few refinery and fertilizer projects there. So we are looking into that market also. We have put in our people there, and they are working on that market because that's an English-speaking market, so it's easy to work in that segment. So that is the way we are expanding.
Thank you, sir, for that elaborate answer. But if I have to sort of summarize, other than this Nigerian order which is on the anvil, would you believe that all these initiatives will yield to another such large order in the next 12 to 18 months, or that is still some time away?
Yes, it is going to give us more orders, and a larger order we are anticipating from Abu Dhabi, definitely, in that region itself. We are going to get the business, more major business from these markets.
Understood. And my second question was on the non-oil and gas initiatives. So we were trying to break into the defense sector with doing something for the ordnance factory boards, etc. Can you talk about a bit on on
that?
That
sort of this segment, lot of government orientation is there. So few of the proposals are under discussion with the ministry and all. So if they get cleared, because we have been working on this market for almost a year and we have invested a lot of efforts in this segment and submitted various projects in there, and they are in the stage of clearance. So we are hopeful that a few of them will get cleared and we should be able to really take the benefit out of it.
Sure. And lastly, sir, what percentage of the Barmer refinery, which is part of our turnkey order book, has been completed? So, you know, I think there was a change order also there. So, you know, including the change order plus the original order, what is the balance pending work in our order book just dedicated to the Barmer refinery, sir?
So if I have the progress of the project, I don't have the order-wise progress. Planning progress, it's around 71.5% it is completed.
Got it. Thank you, sir, and all the very best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sujit Jain from Bajaj Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Sir, I don't know if you covered this before in the call, but just wanted to check with you. Petronet LNG indicated a very large capex post their Q2 results, I think close to 17,000-18,000 crores. So any projects and on, you know, in the pipeline which you can tap in?
So we are discussing few projects with PLL. It would not be appropriate to declare the name of the same. We are discussing something with them.
Right. And you mentioned new initiative, including solar, which you just said with your alliance partner, probably next year there could
solar
be some action. Along with it, are there any plans to...
I'm sorry, sir, you're sounding muffled. Mr. Jay, we'll move on to the next question from the line of Raj Rishi from DCPL. Please go ahead.
Want to find out what are your initiatives regarding this supposed massive potential of energy transition, be it green hydrogen, solar, the one tie-up which you have with Australia, that Australian company, is it like for EPC or what is it? And what other areas in this energy transition, other than your traditional business, are you targeting? And that's point number one. Point number two, just to get a perspective, what percentage of your present revenue would come from these new areas presently? And what is the vision? I heard some interview of Ms. Shukla, Ms. Vartika Shukla, and I could gather that, you know, a lot of optimism was there, that a huge chunk can come from here, whether it's sustainable aviation fuel and green hydrogen and solar, etc. So what percentage of your revenue, say, in 3 years' time can we expect from this one, energy transition, other than your traditional areas of refinery petrochemicals?
On the first part, our alliance partner, that is Solar CSP, we won't be doing the EPC part. We are having alliance that they will be providing the technology part, and EL will be doing the balance of plant. So balance of plant in that solar CSP is typically 25% to 30% of the total capex that goes into it. That's number one.
Okay.
And for balance of plant and the integration of this particular technology with the refineries is another step towards the energy transition. So this is the one, the phase-wise transition that will happen. So that's one. Another thing is on the energy transition that you asked, that see, only green hydrogen alone is not a part of energy transition. It is one of the many initiatives that are there.
Yeah.
One is on the energy efficiencies part. Second is on the alternate fuels. That also goes into the transition part. Alternate fuels like the ethanol blending, which is not, we have achieved 10% and government is targeting 20%. So we are expecting a good chunk of new biorefineries coming up across the country, because the ethanol pricing that is from the biofuel policy are very conducive, and they are giving the margins are right now on a very positive side. So one of the refineries that is under completion is the bamboo refinery of AVRPL. So we are expecting similar type of refineries coming up in the northeast. And with our other feedstocks, we are expecting the technologies are there. So we are analyzing the technologies which are the most appropriate technologies for other feedstocks also. So, and on the revenue part, last financial years, if we see on the energy transition, whatever the things we are doing in the field of green hydrogen, biofuels, energy efficiencies, it's around 7 to 8% of our revenue stream was from energy transition. And as this is a growing field, we are definitely going to increase this percentage, which we are, we should target to be around maybe in a couple of years, from anywhere from 8% to 15% to 20% in a consultancy business as well, only.
Okay. This is only consultancy, right?
Yes, yes, it will be consultancy.
So this tie up with this in the solar part, balance of part, that will come under consultancy.
Yes, it will come. See, that again, it depends upon the client that in which business, in which mode they are going to execute the project. If it is going to be a complete EPCM, then definitely we'll take part of our engineering services that we are going to provide for balance of plant and integration of that. So mostly we are expecting the consultancy business to begin with in this segment.
And sir, what is the, like you must have done some study as to, you know, what is the market size and what kind of turnover it can generate from this particular tie-up in 3 years' time. Any comments on that?
Market size, like what we have seen in last few months of our study, that there's an enormous size. Only thing is that we have to present a good case and a good business model to the client, which is a viable, of course. So we are working on different conceptualization is going on different type of operation models for this, and we will be presenting this particular model to the client, and whichever the viable model is there, that is going to click. So we are right now in a very in a conceptualization stage and under various models that we are going to project to our clients.
Okay. And another thing, sir, like Ms. Shukla in Davos had talked about a lot of tie-ups that engineering, they cannot create technologies on its own for everything, right? So talked about a lot of collaborations, and even I think 1st January, the New Year address to the employees of Engineers India, there was talk of a lot of collaboration, this year being year of collaboration. So can you share with us what sort of collaborations and what kind of talk, etc., which area?
See, the collaboration are across our portfolio. So we were looking for technology providers in the new areas as well, like solar CSP is one where we collaborated. There are a number of other collaboration discussions are going on with the partners. So as and when they mature, we'll announce it.
Okay. And so another thing, just my last question. Like Engineers India versus your peer group, both in domestic and globally, there must be a cost advantage, right? Indian engineers come with a cost advantage. So is that the only advantage you have versus your, like, why do you expect that you'll get a lot of international business? What's the edge which, you know, this Engineering India would have over your competitors there?
That is the case, because the cost advantage is there. The experience of EIL also speaks, because in many of the cases, if you see that international market, it is mostly the quality-based selection. Many of the countries, it is quality-based selection, wherein the experience also, so the kind of experience or the complex experience we have in Indian market, I don't think it has been done anywhere, because here you get the expansions and the capacity expansions have taken place in phases. So EL has been involved in all kind of expansions as well as modernizations, revamps. This kind of thing is not happening in many other countries. So that always plays with the company experience. EL Engineers also has the experience, as well as the price advantage is definitely there. But there is also competition from the East European companies, wherein the cost, their prices are less. That competition is also there. So it all depends which market is there and what kind of companies are bidding. So that is we have seen.
Certain, okay, and sir, certain companies attended some con calls. They also talked about this India spearheading this global south on a political level. So that also might help in generating business, you know, government to government, putting in a good word, etc. So is it there in your case, or is it just direct company trying to solicit business?
We have a lot of interactions are going on with number of trade commissions and of various countries, not only in the global south that you have talked about, but various oceanic countries also. So we are in constant touch with the trade commissioners, and we look for the opportunities that we can gather from there.
We'll take our next question from the line of Nikhil Abhyankar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is particularly on green hydrogen side. So recently, government has announced incentives to set up around 4.5 lakh tons per annum of green hydrogen capacity. So are we in talks with all the winners of these bids to set up the capacity, and what can be the size of this opportunity?
See, we have to take it in a very phase-wise manner. So government has come up with their green hydrogen procurement policy. The draft has already in the market for the public consultation. So once the detailed procurement policy will be set up, so there will be lot of aggregation that's going to happen in this particular space. And once aggregation happens, that gives the economy of scale to any operator or any manufacturer. So definitely, with the policy initiatives and the decision and the that government has taken, and which is it is taking forward, we expect a lot of business demand generation will be in a regional demand, and aggregation will be at a national level. So we are expecting once it happens, a lot of business would be there for us in green hydrogen space. But definitely, like electrolyzers, they are maybe also coming up with a PLI scheme for electrolyzer for green hydrogen manufacturing. So definitely, all these policy initiatives do support the businesses here. And we are expecting that within a year or so, you'll see a lot of movement in this particular space.
So my question was particularly regarding the incentives recently announced in the month of December. So they have allocated capacity of 4.5 lakh tons, and I think the capacities are to be commissioned in the next 3 years or 4 years.
Yes, basically the green hydrogen, if you see the on the demand side, most of the demand side is from the refineries and the petrochemicals. So these particular companies are going to set up the green hydrogen plants, you're right, in the next 2 to 3 years, and when the studies will be done, and then final financial closure and the project implementation would be there. So it's going to take a couple of years to do this. But we do have all the capabilities, both on the technical side and both on the execution side, to undertake these particular green hydrogen projects, which is hydrogen is nothing new. We have been dealing with hydrogen molecule for since ages. So this is not a very technical incentive thing for us to crack.
Okay, so can we expect any order inflow next year from specifically green hydrogen?
One thing is that we had done the study of a project in last few years, which it's a private company which is setting up a green urea project. So that study is there. That is there in their clearance in their board. And if that gets cleared, it's going to be a big complex somewhere in Orissa. So let us see. Let's hope for the best. It gets clear from this. We were involved in the study of their project. So that is going to be one of the large-scale projects which would be there on the ground in the recent years itself. It's going to be a green area project.
Understood. And my final question is on the overseas market. So recently, Aramco has capped their production at 12 million barrels per day. So do you expect this to be like some other OPEC companies, countries might also join in, and it might impact our prospects going ahead?
I think we won't be able to answer that question, because it will be more of companies like IOCL or ONGC would be able to answer that question.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all from us.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Shirom Kapoor from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I had two questions. One is on those three mega petchem projects that, you know, under negotiation. Would you able to share what the total opportunity size is in this?
We won't be, because this is under the negotiation, so it won't be appropriate to share the details of the thing. You'll get to know in a few months' time. I think by 31st, we'll be able to get some news on this. At least
great.
Some of them would materialize.
And I saw in your presentation the under the order secured that for the Intelligence Bureau that you've got about a 350 crore project. The service type is written as turnkey. Is that just an error? Because in, you know, in your table you've given us turnkey order inflow is zero this quarter. So I just wanna.
It is a depository based project. It's not a turnkey project. It's a depository based project.
Okay. Oh, okay. I see that. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Thanks. Just those two questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Amit Anwani from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, so just a follow-up on exports. You did highlighted overseas opportunities and different markets you are looking for. Just wanted to understand, will this be more consulting orders or turnkey orders? And second aspect, I would like to understand on the margin differential between domestic and overseas orders which are going to look now in the international market.
First is, it's mostly going to be the consultancy orders. We are very specific about going for the EPC orders. So we generally give the EPC services in India itself. If we find something, some good opportunity which is a risk-free activity, we might decide to go in the international market for the EPC, but primarily it would be consultancy. And margin-wise, the international orders are good enough and they give good margins. And we are able to maintain our overall margins in that regard.
So like more than 5% difference?
That it depends on the order and the competition and which market we are in. It's very specific. It's very difficult to tell you. In some of the orders, we get more than what you are telling. In some of the order, we get a little bit less, depending on the what strategy you adopt, whether you want to enter into that market, sustain our business there, and try to beat the competition, or if it's easy to get that business and there's limited competition, it may increase. It's on case-to-case basis. We have to see.
Right. So, and now, with the so much focus on international, the international, I think, was about 500-600 crore last financial year, and I think 9 months also more than 300 crores. Can we see the run rate substantially increasing in the next 2-3 years?
It would be not substantially increasing. It will increase a bit, but at least it will be, I can say it should be substantial, not very substantial, around 20-30%. At least it should increase.
So thank you very much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Nirav Chutkar, an independent research analyst. Please go ahead.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity. My question is actually on the Vision 5K25, which was outlined by your managing director, Vartika Shukla, on in the 56th EGF. So actually, I want to know from you what would be the progress on that, and if you can give some qualitative color on this, because if I see your results, right, from FY20 to FY23, the revenue has been in the range of 3,000 to 3,461 crore rupees, in that range. And even in this current financial year, in the 9 months FY24, we have achieved the revenue target of 2,441.89 crore. So I would like to know qualitatively, are we planning to achieve our aspirational vision of 5K25 by next year? And if you can also outline what are the initiatives which we are taking in order to reach that. Thank you.
Yes, I think we are making all our efforts to achieve our vision of increasing our order book, which will in turn result into the increased revenue. So we are making all out efforts across the company to achieve this?
Mr. Nira, does that answer your question?
Yes. So, sir, could you quantify for me whether we will be able to achieve that aspirational target, or are we planning to release some another vision statement or roadmap to guide the investors?
The vision statements are not changed very easily. We are working towards it. One has to work towards it, and we are totally wholeheartedly working towards it, entering into new areas, tying up with the new companies, entering into new projects, entering into new areas. All these things will take time, and efforts should be visible in the market. That is the aspect, and we have to make efforts, and we have to work towards. The vision is always a target wherein we have to work towards it. Right now we are working towards it. If it is unachievable, then we'll see at that point of time, but we are working towards it and we should be able to meet the objective.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question from the line of Akshat Singhal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question, I have two bookkeeping questions. This is with respect to 2020 and 21 annual report. I was going through all the con calls but couldn't find the question to the same. The first one is with respect to the note number 55 of the annual report of 2020-21, which states that out of the investment made by PF Trust in the past, some issuers of securities have defaulted in interest payments and or principal repayments. The amortized value of probable future principal default is amounting to Rs. 193.7 crore as at 31st March 2021. My question is with respect to the financial year to which this provisioning of default in interest and principal repayment pertains to, whether it is financial year 2021 or earlier financial years, as the same is not getting captured in the note.
Actually, these PF Trust securities were downgraded during the financial year 18-19, 19-20 and 20-21, and to the tune of 193 crore, as you mentioned, and we have provisioned against that. Provision of 150 crore was created in the financial year 2021.
But they were pertaining to previous last 3 years, right, sir?
Securities were downgraded in the 18-19, 19-20 and 20-21.
Okay. And so further, it is mentioned there that further the provisioning is done only for the amortized value of the probable future principal defaults. And it is not mentioned that of the interest also. So why so we haven't provisioned for the interest and only we have provisioned only for the principal amount?
Because all the interest due, we were paying continuously to the PF Trust on a yearly basis. And principal amount was not returned to PF Trust. That's why there was provision of 150 crore for the principal portion.
Okay. And sir, has any action been taken or initiated by EIL or government on the responsible officers on account of these defaults in the securities? Because since it was a 3 year period, so there has been some kind of a negligence, and whether the same has been reported to the appropriate statutory authority, including the exchange, with respect to the same?
Yeah, we don't have such any information, so that's why we have not reported to the stock exchange.
Okay, that's it from myself. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Raj Rishi from DCPL. Please go ahead.
Actually, my line got disconnected. I was talking about the Global South thing. Can you just share comments on that? That thing.
Global South.
The political government-to-government connect, how much it helps say a company like Engineers India? My line got disconnected that time.
Yeah, okay. As we mentioned that we are making a very dedicated effort to connect with various trade commissioners of various countries. For example, this particular the alliance that we have done with the solar CSP, this has emerged from our B2G interaction with the trade commissioners. So a number of other initiatives, and this is a continuous process that we interact with all these embassies of the countries and look forward to the more partnership and more business in this area. So it definitely helps.
Okay. And sir, another thing, like main raw material for you is quality of talent, right? The personnel which you have. So what versus the market, you need to incentivize them. So are your incentives in place versus your peer group?
See, being a public sector, we have to go as per the guidelines of the government on our pay packages, and which we believe that are quite lucrative with respect to attracting the new talent. Number two is the retention of the talent, that is also important. And if you see our attrition rate, it is less than 2% for last number of years. So with our policies, we are able to retain our talent as well.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand over the call to Ms. Bhumika Nair from DAM Capital for closing comments. Over to you.
Yes, I would like to thank the management for giving us an opportunity to host the call. So wishing you all the very best, and thank you once again, and to all the participants as well. Sir, any closing remarks from your side?
No, thanks, Bhumika. Questions on the result part very low, so
yes,
we thought the investors are happy with the results.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.